Welcome to WDW for Families, the original family-friendly trip planning podcast, helping you plan your Disney vacation for over 5 years.
All right, welcome to WDW for Families, and it has been one of our longer hiatuses. We are the bear of podcast. We go into hibernation from time to time, disappear for a couple months, but we are starting our, I guess we could say we're starting our 11th season or 11th year as a podcast, and I am joined by some of my regular friends tonight who you may have missed their voices for a while. I've missed their voices. I am with, from all the way up in Pennsylvania, I'll let her introduce herself.
Hi, it's Charity.
Yep, Charity is here, as well as our young man from Texas. What's going on with you?
Oh, you know, lots of things, but I'm Kevin and I'm here.
Yep, great. And the gentleman from Tennessee, our last one.
Well, now that you've introduced your regular friends, now you can introduce me, your special friend.
Okay, yeah, right. Randy is here, as if you couldn't tell. And we may have a Stephanie sighting tonight. We're not sure. But it's good to see everybody again. I actually texted back and forth with Rusty earlier today. So I've had some sort of communication with all you guys. And it's been a long time since we talked. Occasionally, one of our text threads will pop up and somebody will say, hey, I'm here. And we'll talk a little bit. But for the most part, it's been a while since we've been here. And a lot of things have happened at Disney. We've all been on trips, I'm almost certain. I could go around the room, and everybody's probably been to Disney maybe multiple times since we podcasted. And I'm just going to let everybody catch up. First of all, here are my two questions to start. This is our catch-up portion of our show. Tonight, we're going to talk about Halloween a little. We're going to talk about the Tron ride. We're going to talk about the trips we've taken. And so my first question is, how many trips have you taken since we recorded? And what was the thing that stood out to you in that trip? All right. So think about that for a few seconds. I just kind of threw the gauntlet down on that one.
Honestly, Todd, you'll have to remind me when the last time was that we recorded.
You know, it has been a while. I have missed it, and it's been a long time. I can find that really fast. If you guys want to go ahead and start, Charity, when is the – I think our last show actually aired in February, believe it or not. So that's crazy how long we've been gone. So anyways, Charity, I'll let you start.
Well, we sort of take things in waves. So I have actually not stayed at a Disney resort since we last recorded. We did do a 7-night trip on the Fantasy. So I got my Disney fix. I've had a number of trips to Disney Springs and to visit the Disney resorts. I have done 4 Universal trips since we last recorded. So we've been kind of in a Universal phase, but in about 3 weeks,
oh, sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt you, Chair. I was
wrong. Oh, I thought you were telling me to wait.
No, I was saying I was wrong. We did drop a show in May. So it hasn't been as long as I thought. Go ahead, Chair. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Well, timing still stands for me. But yeah, in about 3 weeks, I will be staying at... let's see, one of the All-Star Resorts for a night, and then Caribbean Beach for 5, and hitting up the Christmas parties. So I'm very excited, very excited for Very Merry. I'm very excited about that. But the big, big excitement is for Holly Jolly, because they're going to have the whole Muppets section going on at the theater, and that of course has my interest peaked. So that is the thing that we're getting costumes ready for, and I'm hoping to have a puppet ready. I did make a puppet for our cruise, so this has kind of been the new thing that I've gotten myself into. So, yeah, so I'm excited to hear about Tron and where you guys have stayed at recently, and looking forward to my trip.
All right, Kev, we'll let you go second.
Yeah, so I'm probably the one that goes least in this group, I feel like. The last time we went was our last episode, which was my trip report back in May. So a lot of things we did get to do. We can talk about some of that, including Tron and Guardians and some of those sorts of things. If you want to hear my last trip, you can just go listen to our last episode. And then my next trip is scheduled in April. Me and one of my guy friends are just going out there, just the two. He's going to run. I'm not running any longer. So he's going to do that, and I'm going to hang out. So that's what we're doing in April.
As far as I remember, Randall J., I think you had quite a few trips planned. So you've probably got a few to tell us about.
Yeah, this is our on year for annual passes. So got that in May, and we have 5 trips planned on those annual passes. So as a family, we've completed one in May at Beach Club, just Beth and I. Then we did just our graduate with mom and dad in July. Beth and the girls went over Labor Day, and we just came back from fall break at the Grand Floridian in a 2-bedroom villa, which was a splurge. So so that was great. In fact, this May, we checked off our 50th Disney trip since being married. So so that was great. And with a couple after, I think we're now at 52. So it's been a fun time, and we continue to be Disney dedicated, and they continue to get a large percentage of our income.
I think the funny thing is, once you approach that number, Randy, I think we're somewhere maybe even north of that. But you've probably spent a year of your life at Disney.
Oh yeah.
If you think about that.
I've had more than a couple of years where I spent a month at Disney. I've spent 30 days at Disney, more than 1 year of my life. Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, this year, since we have 2 boys in college, we had kind of decided that it was time to slow down a little bit. We did take the Disney cruise last year, but we have 2 trips planned for this year. We just recently – well, we have 3 trips if you include our Disneyland trip. We just completed a Disney World quick trip to go down and hit our 17th not-so-scary Halloween party. With Brewer, who our son watches the Not So Scary Halloween Party constantly on YouTube. And so we went down there for him, and we stayed at the stayed at All Star Sports. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about it next episode. And I think you may be surprised at the way I came off thinking about All Star Sports. In fact, I texted everyone the first day with a different opinion I ended up with. So you will see next episode about my new feelings about the All-Star Resorts. What now, Kevin?
Bum, bum, bum.
Well, the funny thing is, I think that's the second time I've ever stayed at an All-Star, because we always, when we first got married and we were newlyweds, and, you know, we just had Brock or, you know, just had one of the kids, we would stay at Pop most of the time. And I don't think we had scheduled to stay at All Stars when I had to leave early because my dad had a medical emergency. So my family all stayed there, but I left early. Anyways, long story short, we went to the Halloween party, and we're going to talk about that as well. But first, I think everybody wants to hear about this. Tron. So Tron is the ride. It's all the new rage now. It's got the virtual queue, and everybody was nervous that they wouldn't get in the virtual queue, at least in my group of 3 that was down there. And I don't know how long it's been since recorded. I think we've talked about Guardians of the Galaxy, but well, let's stick to Tron just right now and talk about it. Who in this panel has ridden Tron? Randy and Kevin and I have all ridden Tron. So without spoiling any of our opinions, or don't spoil a lot for charity, but what are your just baseline thoughts on Tron? We'll start this time with Randy.
I mean, it was great. What's great is that you can see what you get, right? I mean, it's got a portion of the track that goes outside, so you can see exactly what the ride vehicle is like and exactly how fast it's going. And it's a real roller coaster. I mean, it's not like Mine Train, where I guess it's a roller coaster, but you never really go that fast. This is a real roller coaster that really does go pretty quick. So it's a good ride. I like it.
All right, Kev.
Yeah, so we were fortunate. We actually got the virtual queue early one day, and so we were able to ride it during the day, and then we actually purchased a lightning lane for it to ride at night. So we've been able to ride it during the day and at night, and as Randy mentioned, since it does go outside, that there is a difference. It is a different ride during the day than it is at night. And part of that is even just the climate. Like since you go outside in the evening, it's going to feel a little cooler. But the lights are really obviously it's Tron, so I mean there's light everywhere. And so at night things are lit up a little bit differently. And so you really get a little bit of a, it felt a little more futuristic at night, which was a lot of fun. I agree with Randy. I mean it goes fast and. It's very different than most roller coasters just because of you're like sitting on a Tron light cycle, like a motorcycle, right? So it's a different feeling as far as that goes. And I don't know. I really, really enjoyed it. One of the things that these days I really feel like one of the questions that I wanna know the answer to when I go to Disney is how rewritable is this ride? And I would say that Tron is very rewritable. It's not something that you're going to go, okay, now that I've done it, I don't want to do it again. I think most people are going to want to do it again.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And since we are, you know, WDW for families, I want to make sure we tell our families it's a 48-inch height requirement for this ride, which what age is 48 inches usually, Charity? What would you say?
I'd say what, like a 7-8-year-old?
Okay.
Normally.
And I don't think it's scary. I think it can be intimidating, especially when a ride shows you how fast it goes in the queue. Like the Hogwarts ride over at Universal where you can see Hagrid's coaster shoot out, or the Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster where you see it take off. I do think that makes a difference for some children. Tron is it was an amazing ride. It is and let me qualify this. I'm an amusement park guy. We go to a lot of amusement parks. Disney does not have roller coasters that hit in the same way that actual amusement parks have roller coasters. Their stuff is more family oriented and theme and queue oriented. I did not enjoy the theming of this ride. I thought it was a weak story, and I'm not trying to be critical. I like Tron. Tron was one of the movies of my childhood. You know, I grew up playing the video game Tron and loving it, sneaking over to the college where they had a Tron in the student center, and I would play it when I was a kid. Too much information. Anyways, Tron, my critique on Tron is I didn't enjoy the story behind it, and it was too short. It was like it felt like a third of the length of the Rock and Roller Coaster. It felt like about as long as the old Wabash Cannonball, if any of you guys remember the old Wabash Cannonball at Opryland. Just a really short ride.
Yeah, it was. I would say the thing that was most disappointing to me, I agree, it felt like all the hype and it was over very quickly. I will say that. But probably more than that was, you are literally in the queue in a switchback line, and that's about all it is. There's nothing spectacular about the queue, and it's just a standing in any other amusement park line as far as that goes. And there, once you kind of get in, then there's a little bit of a thing that Disney does, but beyond that, it's, yeah, there's not much to the queue.
I'll bring up a couple little tidbits of information. I think it is, as compared to most Disney World rides, it's a long walk to get to the ride. Most of the things at Disney World are right off the main path. This is out of the way. And it's uphill because it's up a big ramp. So keep that in mind. Because of how you're sitting on this light cycle, it does kind of lock you in a similar way to what they do over at Animal Kingdom on the, what's that
Flight
called?
Flight of Passage.
Flight of Passage. So if you've ridden that, you'll see it's a similar way that it locks you in, and it really grabs a hold of your calf a little bit. And so if you're a person who works out a lot more than me and has a big calf, then that could be a challenge for you. There was a guy there that was a challenge for him. And so there is an opportunity. Every third car or so has a more traditional roller coaster seat in the back. And so there's one section that if you need to request that, you can. There is a place to try to sit on the light cycle before you get in line. And so you could go up to a worker. A worker will help you, a cast member will help show you how it works and kind of give you a judgment of this is for you or it's not. You need to go probably try to sit in that last chair. If you decide you want to do that, you request that at the very end, right when they're telling you which lane to go to, two of you in lane number four, right when they're saying that, that's when you're going to request to be in that last seat. Also remember that there's going to be lockers, so you can put stuff in your lockers. The lockers are free. They're easy to use. You put them in on one side on the entrance, on the exit, you come out on the backside of the wall, and you take it out there. You're going to use your magic band, or if you don't have a magic band, a room key. If you don't have that, they'll have little cards to give you to do that as well. I just want to give out some of that basic information that people might appreciate knowing.
Are they similar to the lockers at VelociCoaster?
Where
yes. You don't actually use the locker until you're right before you get right on?
Yes. Yes, you're right before you get right on.
Okay.
Kevin's got another observation to make. I'm going to jump in with one more. At Disney, and I don't know if any of our listeners know this, but you can request to sit in a certain seat at Disney, and if they can, they will accommodate you. This is one of the rides. Grab that front row. Grab it. Because it is an awesome experience to have nothing in front of you, and you're shooting out, and you're not looking at the back of somebody's head. You're launched out on that thing, and it's pretty amazing. This is one of those coasters like the California Screams or the Incredicoaster now. That one, Aerosmith, those are the kind of rides I want to be right in the front. Kevin.
Yeah, so one of the things that I think they also did really well with this was your ride photo. The ride photo for this ride is not just a photo. They even have like a GIF type of thing where it shows the motion of your car going. And it is one of the coolest, most shareable photos in all of Disney, in my opinion. Just really, really cool.
Well, I wanted to go back to the lockers for a second. At Shanghai, when we went there, they didn't have the lockers. So the whole point of the lockers is because you're not in a seat with a basket in front of you. So there's no place to put your backpack and your water bottle. So what they did over there is they'd have a little cart. You throw it on the cart. They roll it down to where you're going to get off the ride. You grab it off the cart. The lockers is a better, more secure, safer thing. So that's good. But I'll say I did not notice. You can correct me. I didn't see any signs that said don't bring things on the ride. I didn't see anything that said don't have your phone. I didn't see – it's not like Universal where you go through a metal detector and you can't have anything. It's not like that. So I brought my cell phone on the ride. I took a picture before we took off. There's a little place to store something about the size of a cell phone or a pair of sunglasses. There's a small storage container in the front of your light cycle. So I put it in there. When the ride was over, I took it back out. I took a picture while we were still on the ride. So you can bring your cell phone. You can bring small stuff. Now, I don't know what – they may have a sign. Maybe I ignored a sign. but I'm pretty sure you can bring small stuff on.
Yeah, and it's I think it's a pretty if we're taking a kid on there, I've got a 9 or 10 year old, and I'm taking them on there, he or her, and it's like Randy said, it is definitely a step up from Mine Train. It's another step up from Big Thunder. It's probably even a step up from Space Mountain. Now, in Space Mountain, you can't see where you're going, and it's a little herky-jerky, but it is faster than Space Mountain. So if you're going to put it on a scale of, you know, is my kid going to freak out? I don't think kids freak out as much on this as they do Space Mountain, because you can actually see where you're going on this ride, and it is a smoother ride. It's much smoother. But as far as, like, thrill factor, I think it's right in that area with Space Mountain. Randy?
I would rank it with Rock and Roller Coaster. I think it's in the same class as Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yeah, so if your kid is squeamish around coasters and, you know, Big Thunder is about as adventurous as they want to get, this is probably not the ride you're looking for that. And I would wait until they're comfortable riding it. It is hardly ever wise to force your kids on a ride they don't want to ride. It has rarely worked out well for me. I have seen many kids get ruined by rides, by their parents forcing them to get on things they don't
want. A ruined child.
Well, yes, a ruin. That child is ruined for life. No, their amusement park experiences from then on are damaged. Tainted. Yeah, because, you know, it took us 10 years for Battle to ever get on a roller coaster again after we took him on the Matterhorn for his first one. So, anyways, okay. So that's Tron. Any questions, Charity?
Yeah, so I have one question. So you had mentioned Flight of Passage, Randy, and that made me think, you know, I would say probably at least the first half dozen times that I went on Flight of Passage, I had always gone in the, you know, the quick line, right? So the now lightning lane. And there is definitely a piece of the theming and the story that you miss by going in that line. You know, it wasn't until I finally went in the full line that I was like, oh, wow. Okay, so this is where they have, you know, all the avatars out, and you can actually see all of the things that they have, you know, in the advertisements and such. It is going in, you know, if you purchase the individual lightning lane and you go through the short line, you know, Todd, knowing that there's already perhaps not quite as much or as great of a story as you want to go with it, is it kind of a detriment to the story to do that quick line, or is it
I'll say this about the lightning lane, that there is a room where they'll play a little video and give you a little preview, and then you head to the lockers. So it is, you get a little bit. But I'll say that when we were there during the Halloween party, that was shut down. So you just walked through that room and you went and got on, you know, not got right on the ride. We had to wait in line a little bit, but it was, there was basically no theming on the lightning lane. So I'll let Todd or somebody else say what it's like in the non-lightning, but the lightning, there's not a lot to it, not a lot of story.
It was open for us. And my impression was, Charity, and I may be completely wrong, I think that we came into the ride from the lightning lane where everybody else went inside. Like, I think everybody was outside until we went into the same room. So I think the majority of the time you're waiting, you're outside this place. And I think Kevin's nodding his head. Is that right, Kevin?
Yeah, that's exactly. It's just the very same thing. You just go into a slightly different line, and eventually you wind up just commingling with everybody else and going in at the same time, basically.
Yeah. The other process we may want to tell people about is they are still doing this evil virtual queue, which I dislike horribly. My dislike for the virtual queue is as strong as my dislike for the Indianapolis Colts. That's how much I dislike the virtual queue.
Well, there goes 2% of our listeners right there.
No, Indianapolis is a lovely city, It's lovely. I've spent a lot of time there. But the Colts beat us a couple weeks ago, and that's not that doesn't sit well with Daddy. All right, so
let me ask you this. Maybe Charity might be asking this as well. Is Lightning Lane worth it on this ride?
I think for your first experience, yes.
Yeah, and here's part of the reason. I think that the Lightning Lane can be can help you experience it where you might not experience it otherwise if you don't get in the virtual queue, which can be extremely – it's one of those deals where you kind of have to ask yourself, okay, what stress level do I want to have at Disney? Do I want to get up and make sure that I get in a virtual queue, or do I just want to pay for it and get it over with so that I know that I've got it, I don't have to worry about it, and I can kind of select – a little bit more of my time and different things like that. So I think if you need a specific time, I think it's better to go ahead and get the Lightning Lane. And I think if you want your stress level to be a little bit lower, then get the Lightning Lane. Other than that, if you'll just get up and do what you need to do to get a virtual queue, most of the time you're going to grab one, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's got the same fervor that the Rise of the Resistance had at the beginning. Where, you know, like half the people aren't getting it. From what I understand, more than not, you're getting Tron. But Charity did give me a tidbit. She told me that at the Halloween party that it is hard to get.
Yeah. I think I've seen what is quick as like 4 seconds that they're gone for the parties. So, yeah, definitely for the parties, they're going quick.
And I was when I was at the party, I saw somebody turned away. You know, they're like, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir. It's only open to people who got the virtual queue." And they're like, "What's that?" Well, it's too late for that. You know, it is gone.
Well, I'll say this: there is a glitch in their system where if two people from the same family are trying to get on at the same time, that it will actually boot you out to where you didn't think you got it. So Amanda and I were on our phones at the same time, and you know, we bring up the world clock. We're really militant about it. And you know, she counts out loud from 20, and we both, you know, we know when to hit. So we hit join now, and I knew I hit it right on time. And then she hit it, and I got a message that said something has gone wrong. You don't have all blah blah blah. So we did it at the same time, and so I was like, oh, this happened to us before. So we went up to the blue tent, and there were about 4 people ahead of me with the same issue. And the lady at the blue tent is the guest relation tent, if you don't know. That's one thing they brought over from Disneyland that I'm certainly glad that Disney World has now. And so they have the blue tents out there. So we went to the nearest blue tent, and she said, "This has been happening all the time. Let me check your phone." Boop, 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 boop. She did something, and we were Q36 or whatever, 136. We were within 10 minutes of the party starting, our number had been called. So if you do find that you've been kicked out or you don't have it, go to guest relations. And I'll tell you another thing. I know that they get bugged by people all the time who don't get on these things and are like, "Hey, this is Disney. They should let me on." It's not going to hurt you to ask. If they tell you no, they tell you no. But we have not gotten one of those virtual queue spots before, and I went up to him and said, "Hey, I don't know how we didn't get it. Something happened to my phone, whatever." And they said, "We don't want you to have a bad day. Go ahead." So I'm not giving you insider baseball kind of talk here, and I don't want Disney to get mad at me, but it doesn't hurt to ask. So is all I'm saying. So, all right. I think we've thoroughly covered the ride Tron. I think that's the bulk of our episode today. We don't have a lot of time left for Halloween. But Randy, I heard you say Halloween party. That's a little surprising to me. Tell me about your Halloween party experience.
I mean, I told you I was going to go. I texted you. What was it like? It was great. We brought my parents on this trip. That's why we needed a 2-bedroom place. And that was great. It was great to have them there. And so it was fun to engage them in that. So we did the Bounding as the Little Mermaid. So we got Mom to be Scuttle and Dad to be the Crab Sebastian. I think they had a shirt with an embroidered character on it, and that was it. You know, they're dressed up. That's all you got to do. So the rest of us were the rest of the crew, so that was fun. Yeah, we had a good time. We got lots of candy. They do a great job with Abby and her dairy-free stuff. They've got a great system for that. So if that's an issue for you, make sure you take care of that with them. They do a great job with that. We had a fun time. We watched the fireworks, watched the parade, stayed till it closed. Mom and Dad went back early. It's nice to be on the monorail. But the rest of us stayed until it was over. I took a video of us getting on the cruise, the whatever that's called.
Jungle Cruise.
Thank you. So we were getting on the Jungle Cruise. I just flipped my mind. And I got a video of like nobody. I mean, we're the only ones getting on a boat. They're letting boats go by because they need at least two families to get on. And finally, they're like, just get on. It's fine. So we get a private cruise.
Let me clarify a couple of things for just real quick. Not clarify, but just Randy, first of all, you went during fall break, which was a busier time from what I understand than when we went. We went the week after fall break, and we did that on purpose. But we can talk about crowds in a minute. But the Not So Scary is a hard ticket, so it's sold out. So it's every event is sold out. So in theory, they're letting the same number of people in every night. Did you focus on rides or trick-or-treating, or what did you really focus on?
That was our only day in Magic Kingdom. So we got there at the earliest you could get there, and there was because you can get in, I think, 4 o'clock, and there was a massive line of people getting in for the party. So we were in line for probably half an hour getting into Magic Kingdom. And then what do we focus on? We focused on our normal rides. We definitely wanted to make sure we could get Tron, if we could show that off to Mom and Dad. We did, our normal stuff. We went counterclockwise, as we frequently do. And so we got, the good stuff. We're not wasting time on like Country Bear Jamboree or anything like that, but we're trying to hit the good rides.
Yeah, that was incorrect. Anyways, that would be my first tip. Get there around 3 or 3:30. Get your spot in line. You want to get there early.
I would say if you're not going to do that, just go ahead and wait till 4:30.
Yeah, like, that's what I would say.
Yeah, because 4, you're in the line with everybody else.
We dress like the Beagle Boys. We've dressed like the Beagle Boys at several of these. That's kind of our go-to costumes at these. And what we did this year is I really think we for once played it exactly how we should play it. We've got 17 years of experience, so we finally got it right. So we, what we did was we got there, rode 2 or 3 rides that we really wanted to ride, got our Tron thing, and then went to the place we wanted to be when the party started. So whichever character we wanted to see, we got in that line when the party started. Brewer really wanted to see Captain Hook, so we went and got Jafar. Went and got Jafar's line right at 7 o'clock. We saw Jafar within 5 minutes because we were one of the first people there. And then we went and I think we rode one more thing, and then we went ahead and got our spot for the first parade. Now, I know you're thinking, well, that's early. You're wasting a lot of your part time. Well, contraire, mon frere, because this is what happens. After the first parade, the rides are empty. And the trick-or-treat lines go down by half. And here's another secret. You don't have to trick-or-treat at all until 10 or 10:30. Because if you do, wait till 10 or 10:30. They don't keep the candy. They give it all away. They throw what's left over away every night. So they're dumping candy in your bags at like 11 o'clock, 11:15. And so they gave us additional bags. Like they were like, here, fill this bag too. Fill this bag at the one by Big Thunder Mountain.
And if the line is more than 10 families long, get out of line and come back.
Yeah.
And if you find a line where there's no wait, go through twice, go through 3 times, do whatever you want to do.
And they will fill it up. And I'll say this, and we waited till one of the later stage shows. The stage shows are always going to be packed right up there in the front, but we waited for one of the later ones just so we could make sure we got everything we wanted to do during the day.
Now, Brewer, if you're watching the parade, the first parade, and then you go ride rides, are you missing the fireworks? Because our fireworks were like 20 minutes after the parade.
Well, so our family's a little different. Brewer does not like fireworks. He can't take them. So that's an advantage to us. Brewer and I went and rode rides and got candy while Amanda watched the fireworks. And then she saved us a spot for one of the later shows. So, but by the end of the night, every ride was walk-on. Every trick-or-treat line was empty. And, here's another thing. If your kids are into the zombies movies, okay, over there in front of Space Mountain, they have that stage and they have a dance party. Well, it's the zombies characters. And they don't list them in the characters list. And Brewer went berserk when he saw that it was the zombies characters. They introduced themselves as the characters. They have the werewolf girl and the main zombie guy. And they're there. And that Brewer got a picture with all four of them. That was the last thing he did. And he sat on the bus the whole way back to the resort and stared at that picture. He was so proud of that picture. And so that was a huge thing for us, if your kids like zombies.
That's actually a big draw. You know, I was not thinking about it, but next year we are planning to hop on a Disney cruise on Halloween. And I'm kind of thinking now, I think we should try to do the party before.
It's the same party it's been for the last 16 years. I mean, the only things that are different are, you know, we've got the Hocus Pocus show, which is really great. The Sanderson sisters they're really funny. And the ladies that pull that off are incredible. The friends of the Sanderson sisters are ridiculously talented. And so we did that. It's the same, but, and they have a few different characters, but it's really, that would be my biggest gripe with it. I know they're not trying to bring me down for an 18th, you know, that's not their goal, but I think what Disney wants to do is they're appealing to the person that's going to go once, and so they can do the same party every year. But you know what Disneyland does is so incredibly awesome that I wish they would just do that, because Disneyland's Halloween party is fantastic, and I'm not saying Disney World isn't.
Yeah, I remember when there was like five marked places to trick or treat. And this was far more than that. So I did appreciate that they had more options. Now, like you said, once you go through five times or six times through the line, your bag's full anyway, and you're not going to eat that much candy anyway. So you really don't need to hit 12 different spots. But I appreciated that there were more spots marked and more spots available. There's also a couple secret spots that just aren't marked. They just throw a tub of candy somewhere and a couple of cast members, and they start scooping them in your bag. So if you want candy, they got your candy. And it's all Mars, right? It was all good quality, lots of good candy. So if that's your thing and you want to spend $80 to get a bag of candy, you can do it for sure.
All right. I think we also did Halloween Horror Nights this year for the first time ever. And I kind of feel like that's a different show, but just in summary, 10 haunted houses in one night's a lot. It is a lot. And I can only take so many jump scares before I'm like, you're not going to get me anymore. I literally, the last six haunted houses, I walk around going, whatever, Exorcist girl, you're not scaring me. Yet he got me in the first one, and I was about done. So, but it was Halloween Horror Nights is a totally different animal. We'll talk about that one day in the future. Kev, you've been awful quiet lately. What's up with you?
My issue is I've not been to the Halloween party, so I don't have a whole lot to, to go off of on this. We've not chosen to go at that time. And so, yeah, I just don't have a lot of input. I'm super intrigued about doing it, and I've learned a lot of strategies that I've never used, but yeah, I enjoy all your input on it.
I will say this about it. You're in Texas, so you can go to either coast. if you watch the videos on the Oogie Boogie Bash out in Disneyland, it is hard not to see a major difference. And this is coming from somebody who loves Halloween. Halloween is my favorite holiday by far. And the Disney World party, I love it. I mean, if I didn't love it, I wouldn't have gone so many times. But it's still, you know, and for somebody who, I think one time we did a podcast where we say, what is a must do? What have you got to do in your Disney career? And my answer was not so scary Halloween party at Walt Disney World, which I think it is. I think if you go more than once, you need to go. But if I were to choose between the two, I'm at that Disney World. That Disneyland party looks awesome. Anyways, that is our show for tonight. It's good to be back, and hopefully we'll be more regular. We've, like always, it is just hard to find time to edit these shows and put these shows together, and that's usually the toughest thing we run into. So good to see you guys. Hopefully we'll have some of the same crew back next week when we talk about moderates and values, one of the most oft-talked topics here on WDW for Families. All right, and you're never too old to wish upon a star.